T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dale and Keith, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
It is a Patriots Friday here on Sports Radio WEEI. And as we do on Fridays, we visit with New England Patriots safety Devin McCourty. Devin is brought to you by Big Y. Good morning, Devin. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Great, thank you. It'll probably be a little warm Sunday. I don't know if you've heard that.
Yeah, that's the usual down in Miami.
You guys have had issues 1-5 in the last 6 games down there. Any ideas why?
Just getting outplayed. I mean, last year we played well for, most of the game, or I'd say well enough to win. And then we lost the game, really defensively with 7 seconds left. So all through the years where we've lost, you can kind of pinpoint different things that they just outplayed us with. And I thought, they did a better job situational football last year. So. But that's been big for us this week. We've talked about that, how we played over the last couple of years down in Miami, obviously last year's game, of trying to get that going. And, I think overall, even last year, of how we played on the road and trying to change that up starting this week.
Now, Devin, does your role as a leader and a captain, one of the longest tenured players on the team, does that sort of intensify? Is there more on your plate when Antonio Brown comes in with some of the distractions that there were before, and then this week there's even been more added to that? And obviously all you guys are going to be asked about it. So does that sort of change at all for you?
No, not really. I mean, I think we have a way about here as a team. I think one thing we always talk about is everyone, kind of speaking for themselves. And each player that comes into this building and comes a part of the team, I think they all come with the same expectations as just to do your job. So no matter, where you come from, what happened previously, I think everyone kind of takes the same approach of, you're new here. Let's see what you do and how you help us as a team, not, about where you've been or, what you've come from.
Is that a tough balance as a leader? I know Matthew Slater used the term brotherhood to describe that locker room, and you guys try to be welcoming. But you're also human beings. You know what is being said, what is out there, and you don't necessarily want to vouch for somebody who you really have a very short personal experience with. So is there a balance there as a teammate versus just a human being with questions about this new coworker?
No, I think we're like everyone else. We're all just human beings, and I think just like how you guys come into work today, you got a job to do, you just go do your job, and I think that's what we all doing here. And I think that's, a reason why we are able to build friendships into it. But, we come together on a common goal of playing good football and trying to win. And, I think you kind of build off that to start with. And I think we all kind of do that in our different ways. And that's what's been fun this year about this team, since April, just building, getting to know each other. And now you go out there and you play well week one, and now it's like, what are you going to do week two? And I think we've all been just doing that as a team, just trying to build our relationship and get better as a team on and off the field.
What have you seen from Antonio Brown, the football player, on the practice field this week?
Same things you always see. He's a hard worker. He's been out there trying to get better with all the guys on the team. It's not easy coming to a team, I guess you'd call it week one, after week one, and you're trying to learn and get up to speed with everything. With a bunch of guys that have been going at it since April, but he's been working. He's been trying to learn as much as he can, so. It's been fun. The guy's a really good player. We played against him for years. So, seeing him, in our jersey and out there practicing and working hard, it was a good sight to see.
How's he fitting in so far, not just on the field, but inside the locker room?
I mean, I guess good. This is, Friday? So right. We've all been in here just Wednesday and Thursday. So, I think everyone is just, like I said, in the locker room. It's like a lot of locker rooms probably across the NFL laughing, joking, trying to get to know each other.
You mentioned you've obviously played against him. What type of player is he? Seems like he's one of the more versatile receivers in that he can, run deep and catch it deep, or catch it short and take it deep. And, what do you see again from him as a safety sort of a scouting report?
Yeah, I mean, you nailed it. I think that is the biggest thing. You know, they can do everything. So I think for us as players and as a team, hopefully it helps us out. You know, I think we got a lot of good players, got a lot of good things going on. It's all about executing and doing that. And I think that's the key. You know, I think for us right now, we'll try to get everybody together going into Miami, a road game, first one of the year, and try to, like you just said, click on all cylinders and play well and try to complement each other throughout the game.
With a 30-point win in week one against Pittsburgh, there probably weren't a lot of things that you felt were off from a defensive standpoint, but what were a couple of the things you saw that you didn't like Sunday night?
I just think we always got to work on being consistent, whether that's communication, whether that's man-to-man technique and leverage, or that's in a run game or hand placement. We always just talk about making those things more consistent. So, you know, like you said, even though we won, as you watch the film, there's different points where we felt like we could have been better in some of our fundamental things. And then just watching the film and seeing even, you know, plays that didn't maybe get completed or a guy made a good play, we try to watch those things and see if they'll come back. You know, a lot of teams watch film and they try to run the same things other people ran. So we always try to stay on top of that stuff no matter the outcome of the game.
You've seen in back-to-back years defensive coaches from your staff move on to become head coaches elsewhere, and this year it's Brian Flores, who you'll see on Sunday. What are his strengths as a coach?
I think he's a great leader. You know, I got to see him only, you know, from a defensive side, but you know, I think he really got to know the guys in there and tried to, you know, not only get to know us personally, but also what we like from the football standpoint. I thought, you know, of just trying to operate all on the same page was huge for us. So, you know, for me, I've played under him, you know, specifically as my position coach and then D coordinator. So I was just happy to see the opportunity he got, and, you know, it'll be fun to get a chance to go out there and compete against him on Sunday.
Twice last year, you guys lost on the road to Matt Patricia, Mike Vrabel, and then going back other years to Eric Mangini and other guys with some institutional knowledge of what goes on in Foxborough. Is that an advantage? Is that an issue you need to deal with this week, that Brian Flores is so familiar with you guys?
I mean, I don't know. You know, last year I would say we lost to two of those guys on the road, and then, you know, we lost three more other games on the road. So, you know, I don't know if that was the key to just come from here or just how bad we played on the road. But I think for the most part it comes down to us just playing good football, you know. At the end of the day, you know, they can know a lot, we can know a lot, but it'll come down to who's on the field making the plays and not making the plays. That usually is really, you know, what determines the outcome. And I think that's what we got to focus on, playing well. You know, we went down to Detroit and Tennessee last year, and no matter what knowledge they had, the things that they knew we did well, we didn't do well anyway. So that really determined that to me.
Devin, we appreciate the time. Good luck on Sunday down in Miami.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Devin.
That is New England Patriots safety Devin McCourty. Again, as you guys correctly pointed out, there's a bunch of leaders on this team, but there's a core group of guys who you know are the unquestioned leadership group on this team, and Matthew Slater's part of it.
Yes.
Devin McCourty's part of it. Tom Brady, obviously, almost by default. But there are some guys who...
Yeah, it's spread out, really, if you look at it. It's not like it's all offensive guys, and then you have a really young defense, or vice versa. Like, it's everywhere. You throw a special teamer there in Slater, and guys that have been around for a very long time. And just think of all the different, quote, distractions that they have had on this team. I mean, it's insane.
By the way, to take it one step further, from the Super Bowl until now...
Yeah.
Think about the stuff that's gone on around this team. Gronk's retirement, Robert Kraft's issues in Florida. I mean, it's been one thing after another
and a lot of these guys that are still here, including McCourty, I mean, you're talking about just Josh Gordon from last year, bringing him in and everything that surrounded that. Why didn't Malcolm Butler play in the Super Bowl? They had to deal with that whole aftermath. I mean, there's been on-field questions. There's been off-field questions. This is a team that brought in Tim Tebow years ago. I mean, they'll bring the circus to town. They're not afraid to deal with it.
And I do think the more you go through those, the more comfortable you get with them.
Yeah.
Right? The more you can compartmentalize or whatever, you know how to answer the questions. You know how to go to work and do your job. And I'm not saying you ignore them, because as he said, they're human beings.
Yeah.
Just like if you got a new host brought in here who you knew had some criminal background or something, like, you guys would have to do a show with him, right? You would have to
figure it
four
out.
Hours perform right. and figure it out. But you'd also have questions in the back of your mind.
Sure.
Is this a good dude I'm working with?
Yeah.
Should I, how close to this guy
Do
am I going to get?
Do I believe him?
Right.
Like,
so
what's going on?
They have those issues. It's as interesting a dynamic because remember a few weeks ago we asked Daron Harmon about Josh Gordon and he kind of got googly-eyed.
Oh, he was all excited about the player.
Like,
yeah.
You can't cover him on a slant.
Right.
Nobody can cover him.
Nobody
this
can.
And that. There's a little bit of that to Antonio Brown. You listen to Devin McCourty, like he can do it all.
Yeah.
You know, like as I pose the question, he can catch it short, take it long, or catch it long and keep going long.
And
he can do anything.
The problem is it'd be easier to be excited about him if this wasn't hanging over his head.
Yes.
Because I can deal with the helmet, the feet, the John Gruden, the Mike Mayock. I could deal with all that easily.
Social media.
I could write off all of that easily. Easily. I had no problem doing that. That's what the show was all last week.
I was going to say, and you did.
And I did. I had no problem with any of it. And I know it made him look like a clown at times or whatever. I don't care. He wanted out of Oakland. I thought most of that stuff was just to get out of Oakland. Then this comes out on Tuesday night. And he's like, oh, no.
Right.
Because you do have to take it seriously. And maybe it'll be proven out that he did nothing wrong, and that'll be great. And then we can all go back to, hey, do you like the prima donna or do you not?
But will we? Because I do think there's a fair question here. And I am not a defender
for sure
of Antonio Brown. I am not sure he's a good guy. Okay, I just want that on the record. I am not sure he's a good guy.
I actually think he's not.
Okay,
I'll tell you what.
But whatever.
I don't know if any of those guys are good guys.
Right.
We have no clue. They could all be the worst. They could all be the best. Here's the thing. We don't know.
You know how they protect the identity of the victims oftentimes in the newspaper? There are a lot of newspapers. They will not print the name of a victim of a sexual assault or certain crimes.
Yes.
Shouldn't the accuser, until he is proven guilty, be afforded the same luxury? Because it's a horrendous thing to be a rapist. It's also a horrendous thing to be accused of rape publicly if you're innocent. Because that stays with you. You wash some of it away, but not everybody will move on.
No.
And again, I'm not defending Antonio Brown as a saint.
But I understand what you're saying. Is people still think that, or people will continue to think that he is.
It's correct.
Just case closed. And
right.
like you can go through the list. Kobe Bryant, Ben Roethlisberger, Ezekiel Elliott, all these guys. Whether they did or they didn't, there's a group of people out there that say, yeah, they are.
Once
this is what they did.
Alleged or someone makes a claim in this public opinion because, and we're guilty of it, we spend 2 weeks talking about it. Good guy, bad guy, what happened, what are the details? And it just gets so imprinted on people's heads that what are they going to remember? Oh, Antonio Brown, he did that thing to that woman. Much like the Patriots. The idea that they taped the Rams practice, right?
Oh, and
it has become fact.
To this day.
That perception is a reality in the minds of many.
And somebody will mention it again at the Super Bowl.
It makes its way onto SportsCenter, and people will say it.
You've got players claiming it.
Yeah. So the same thing happens when you're accused of one of these crimes. And I've never understood why we couldn't just go down a road of where it's anonymity until it reaches a certain point.
Well, and the point was she filed the lawsuit.
Right, but why does that mean it has to become public? In these sensitive cases where there should be a sensitivity in both directions, the accuser and the accused,
that's a good point.
Couldn't this be, I mean, what do they call it? They, you know, file things away and they're not public in courts all the time, right? Sealed documents and all that thing. Couldn't we go down a road where if you're going to be accused of something that's going to change your life forever?
Right.
Maybe there's some facts. Maybe there's...
Look, let's get to the investigation on both sides of it.
Right.
Yeah.
But this is already out there. The headlines are out there.
Oh, it's out there.
ESPN,
people have already made up their minds.
Right?
Yeah.
Sexual assault. Antonio Brown, he can get... Oh, some of that will come back. Not all of it. There were some people that will forever see him as a sexual abuser.
As Devin said when we spoke to him a few minutes ago, they don't really know this guy yet. I mean, they've been around him since Wednesday. I mean, I know he was in there on Tuesday. They were off, or he was in there on Monday. But, I mean, really, they've been around him Wednesday and Thursday of this week, and now we're into Friday.
And what does that even mean? Like, how much time do you spend with a guy?
No, I'm just
saying. You're sitting in a meeting room. Bill's talking, so I'm not interacting with him. We go to the training room and get taped. I'm not really talking.
Oh, yeah, you probably don't know much.
Well, and the point is, people made a big deal. Peter King wrote about this, about the hesitation. Doesn't sound like Tom Brady's very giddy about this. There's a certain hesitation factor here. A, because this guy, even if the lawsuit hadn't been filed, he arrives with a certain amount of baggage just from square one.
Right.
And now you add the lawsuit, you have the allegations. As you pointed out, even a guy like Matthew Slater, as well-spoken as there can possibly be, sounded a bit hesitant.
Well, you know, first I'll say, so I don't want to minimize the seriousness of a situation like this. Very sensitive matter. And don't want to minimize it at all. But that being said, I certainly don't think that I should be speaking on it or I'm qualified to speak on it because I don't have any knowledge of the situation. So I think you know, as a leader of this team, standing before you guys, speaking on behalf of the team, and not necessarily on behalf of myself, I think that, you know, it's important that we try to focus on doing our job as professionals this week and trying to go about preparation and being ready to play a game on Sunday. But certainly I'm sensitive to this situation and, you know, what's, I guess, what is out there.
I mean, there was real hesitation there.
That money quote, speaking for the team and not for myself.
Right.
Right, because he...
He's basically saying employee number 18 showed up for work and has a certain duty to do if he wants to
as
be an employee.
Captain of the team.
Right, and a leader, and this has been part of his role. He's been a spokesman on this team
for I was going to say, that's one of the most important roles for him.
Right. And so
if
this,
he wasn't as good at that, you wonder...
Right. And so this, to him, is in some ways the same as go line up out wide on this punt and get that punt returner.
Yeah.
I'm doing a job.
Right.
And I may not personally feel that I like this job or am even qualified to do this job or should want to do this job. But I got to do this job. So,
speaking on behalf of the team, and not necessarily on behalf of myself.
I think that's a tell. As soon as he said that, I was right in front of him. Like, that struck me.
Right, because you asked us, Dale, if we were in charge, would we play Antonio Brown this week? I think if you asked that to Matthew Slater and he was telling the truth, he would not play him. He would say no. He would want to figure out what's really going on here. He might have talked to him. Maybe he hasn't talked to him. Maybe he believes him. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he thought he wasn't worth the hassle to begin with. And then when you throw this in there, which, again, is so significantly worse than anything else he has ever done, Slater's probably saying, yeah, I got to talk about it. I'm going to say what's best for the team. I'm not going to make any more issues, but you can read between the lines.
I mean,
he doesn't want him on the team. He doesn't want him to play anyway.
As you know, I didn't want him here anyway. I mean, I was one of those who said, this isn't worth it. No, I understand. I didn't want him here.
I'm a sucker.
But I think that if the Patriots didn't play him, there's kind of an inference that you think there's something here.
Right.
You know, it's almost like...
Yeah, if you're not going to play him, then just cut him.
Right.
Like, you, if you're
either
not
you trust him or you don't.
100%.
You trust the situation, you trust your investigation.
That's why I said I'd play him.
Yeah, once he's here, he's here.
He's here now.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can do about that. I didn't want him here, but he's here. If I don't play him,
what
the inference is, something going on here.
And if your sources are accurate, Dale... They're comfortable with this because they knew before they signed him that there was a possibility
this
could come down.
They would not have signed him if they thought that there was any possibility that the things being charged happened.
Now, they're probably like, are you kidding me? This guy hasn't even played a game and we're already dealing with this. Maybe they thought this could come out week 8 or week 9 and they'd be like, yep, we were prepared for this. You know, he's at least been sort of entrenched in the team at this point.
Right, which would have been easier.
Before practice one, they already had to talk about this.
I think that would have been easier for a number of reasons. A, on the field, he probably now has 45 catches. He's averaging 15 yards a catch. He's got 6 touchdowns. Fans have embraced him. There's a certain joy. And in the locker room, at least now these guys have 2 months. I ate lunch with him.
Right.
He seemed like a good dude.
You probably had a conversation.
He went to
our
Halloween party. That Tuesday thing I did at the playground, he showed up. He was really nice to that kid.
Yeah,
like,
this is weird.
You have nothing. Nothing.
And even for fans, it's just the idea of Antonio Brown.
Right.
You know, you haven't seen him out there on the field with the team yet. You haven't seen him catch a real pass from Brady yet.
Like, fans have every right to be excited. They love football. They want to see big plays and points and fun. All of that. I understand that. But Tom Brady invited this guy into his house, right?
Yes. Well, I believe
so. We think so.
Right. I believe so.
If you asked fans, would you bring this guy over? Would you let this guy hang out with your wife
not.
And kids?
I would not.
On Monday, I would have. On Tuesday, probably not.
And it's okay for those answers to be different. You can have, yes, I want him to play for my team.
Right.
No, I wouldn't bring him over.
100%.
Right?
I agree with that 100% because what's the idea of professional sports? Entertainment,
yes,
and you want your team to win, and usually those are blended together, right?
Right.
So I know some people like to take the moral high ground, like, oh, I want all these guys that are all, like, you know, perfect citizens. They're not. Nowhere. Like, every movie you watch, there's probably bad people involved in that. Every concert you go to, probably bad people involved
this
in that.
This building.
Everything. Yeah, everything.
There are people I don't like in this building that 100%. I wouldn't invite over for dinner, right?
100%.
Dale, but, sorry.
I've never been invited.
Yeah, well,
I'm just pointing it out.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And
it's crashing down. But that's
James Harrison wouldn't have invited him over for dinner.
No.
Corey Dillon sure as hell wouldn't have invited him over for dinner.
God, no.
But so,
if he's going to help my team win games, I'm all for it.
Within reason, right? There is a line there.
If Antonio Brown did what was alleged, no, I don't want him helping my team win games.
Is he in prison?
I don't care if he's not, if he's in prison or not.
Wait a minute. What if he does it like O.J. Simpson you take? He's not in prison.
O.J. Simpson, if he had a little left in the tank, put
you'd
him out
take
there?
Him?
From winning games.
Do you think he murdered his wife?
I do.
Okay.
And
you'd still take
still
him.
Put him out there.
I'm trying to win games. At all costs.
God.
No, at all costs. No. The at all cost is where you
Sandusky?
And I diverge.
So
if Sandusky's available.
Wait, what? No, he's not available.
And was the best coach.
No.
Oh, so the line at murder.
Well, he
you
did. He's in prison. Or
no,
he's
I'm
dead,
I'm
right?
Just, like he
is
came
he
out.
Yeah,
no.
He's.
I don't know if he is. I know Joe Pa.
Okay, we've
Joe Pa bit it.
Okay, Joe Pa. If Joe Pa was available.
I don't want Joe Pa. I don't want Joe Pa.
Okay.
No.
But you take OJ, and you admit, you believe he murdered his wife.
Is he the best running back still?
Is Joe Pa the best coach still?
No, he never was. I was always a Bobby Bowden
See, he's
guy.
Changing the... just
I
pretend.
Was always a Bobby Bowden guy.
Okay, I don't care who you liked. If Joe Pa was the best coach available, would you take him knowing what you know about what he did to cover up molestation?
No, I would not.
Pedophilia?
No, I would not. I would not take Joe
Pa.
So
the line is...
I would take the statue down.
So, but you take murderers. Aaron Hernandez still available, would you take him?
Again... These guys, so you would assume that they are murderers, but even though they went to court and they were released and they were.
But
like,
you believe OJ murdered somebody.
I believe so.
But you would put him on your team.
If it's the difference
it's
between winning the Super Bowl, I'd rather win the Super Bowl with villains than have a bunch of good guys and.
Not a bunch of good guys.
Rather,
he's a murderer.
I'd rather lose the Super Bowl than have a murderer
so that's
on
where
my
we,
team.
That's
or
where
a rapist
different.
On my team.
I'm all about the
wins.
I don't need all good guys, but I'm also not crossing the line into murderers
would
or
you rather
molesters.
Would you rather go 16-0 with a team of criminals or 0-16 with all the Walter Payton Man of the Year guys?
But what are the criminals?
Not even close.
What are the criminals? Are they murderers?
Know,
and did they molest children?
Because
no, I'm good going 0-16.
I'll go 0-16 if that's what
you
I have
guys
to
are,
have
but
on
if
my
it's
team.
Drugs and some other issues, sure. Go
but
ahead.
My point is, if they're not in prison anymore, the due process took place. Like,
OJ never went to prison.
No, I know he didn't.
Okay.
Well, he did, but not for that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Separate issue. Separate issue.
Yeah.
So you really don't care.
I don't care
it's
at
win
all.
At all costs.
They're not my friends. They're on the team that I want to see win. I want to be entertained.
Okay, but they could murder somebody at any time. Could be you, by the way.
Well, I'll watch the games at home. I won't go to the stadium.
Head on a swivel.
You don't leave the house much anyway.
Yeah,
so.
But another reason why.
617-779-7937.
Give me the wins.
Right to the calls with you coming up next after trending now.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hit us up on Twitter at Dale Keefe, WEEI. Now more of Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Yep. Will it be best for the team to have Antonio play on Sunday?
Yeah, well, we're talking about, not going to hand out a copy of the game plan here. We'll do what we think's best for the team.
It's about what you'd expect today. Bill Belichick had his press gathering. Now, many times the Friday press gathering is a little more jovial, a little more relaxed, laid back, especially if Bill, as they like to say, thinks the hay is in the barn. You kind of knew today's wasn't going to be that. He was pressed on a number of occasions about whether he's going to play Antonio Brown on Sunday. And he's not going there.
Well, he's going to do what's
shocking.
Best in for the team.
No.
Oh, good.
So
get
if he cuts
here.
Him, that was best for the team.
What's
if
best
he plays
for the team?
Him,
I mean, against Miami, it probably doesn't matter.
No.
Like, just showing up is what's best for the team.
Well, they've lost five
They
or
have
six.
Lost a lot of games down there.
They lose a lot to assistant coaches. Those two come together. Boom, loss.
Good point.
We'll do what we think's best for the team.
Maybe it's like a double negative, though.
Ooh.
Right?
Could
Former
be.
Former coach, then now
That's
in Miami.
That's why you're a 20-point favorite.
Now you're going to win.
By the way, we mentioned this earlier. Then the Dolphins are a dumpster fire. You know, players supposedly calling their agents after the first week's loss. Get
all
me out of here.
Out. They all want out.
So now we get word that they've actually told the agent for Minka Fitzpatrick, yeah, go ahead. Find yourself a deal, Will. You
yeah,
know.
Fine.
We'll
Doesn't matter.
Here.
I'll take
first
him.
First round
We're
pick.
We're surprised you're
I'll
still here. Yeah.
He's a good player.
Very good player. I saw Jim Nagy, who runs like the Senior Bowl, said he was a perfect prospect coming out. There were no
oh, really?
Questions anywhere. Mm-hmm. Leadership, on-field speed, athleticism, burst. He checks off literally all the boxes. I think he actually did a little graphic with
did
boxes.
He, and he had them.
Checked
and
them all off.
There were check marks across the board.
You know
huh?
what I'm starting to think this is how this plays out? Because they've made these big deals. They've acquired these first-round picks and preparing for the future and tanking for tour, whatever you want to call it out. A little like Cleveland. when Cleveland cleared cap space,
right,
got all the picks, and then John Dorsey comes in and takes it forward. Like, or ML Carr here. Remember ML Carr was the guy who had to suck?
Yeah.
And then Rick Pitino comes in. I feel like maybe Brian Flores is going to be the guy who prepares for the future.
But won't be a part of
it. Someone else's future.
Oh, that's not good.
Which will be too bad because I like him.
One very, very quick hockey note, just because it's sort of the way things go. Bruins are on the ice today for the first time for training camp. Bruce Cassidy is on the ice for the first time since the end of the season because he had knee replacement surgery 10 weeks ago. Literally on the ice for the first time today. They've got a defenseman named Alex Petrovic, who's a what they call a pro tryout.
I don't think he's getting the job.
So
no, I don't like
he
his chances.
Falls. He takes out Cassidy. Cassidy was very slow getting up, according to the people who are over there grimacing. He got a new knee. Could we maybe not take the coach out on day one of training camp here?
What was his name?
Alex Petrovic.
I would see yourself out, Alex.
Yeah, that's it.
Look for a new place to try out.
In Providence, buddy.
All right, let's get to the calls with you guys. John's in Concord. Hey, John, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Doing great.
Good. So, Keith, you'd like that team from what's that movie, The Last Boy Scout?
Yes, I would. The gun on the field.
When he shoots him on the field.
Yeah.
Everybody,
that's his kind of play.
That was a good squad.
Good squad.
Okay.
Tough to tackle.
Yeah.
No, I'm with Keith on that, though. AB's video is fine. In my opinion, I think it is what it is.
Okay, what does that mean? Like, you don't think he should have maybe laid low a little this week?
I think
the personality type of that you know, you've seen that before, Terrell Owens, Ocho Cinco, blah, blah, blah.
Not so much Ocho Cinco. He came here and really kind of shut things down.
Really? Even totally. On the field? He didn't do anything.
Yeah,
he didn't catch a pass. Scenario.
I mean, Belichick's seen this before. Belichick has seen this over the years in other scenarios. So the Pats know how to deal with this AB situation better than any other team in the
entire
league.
That part's true.
Well, if they did, I don't think you would have had that last night.
No, but they know how to deal with it better than any other team, I would say.
Well, but if they were perfect,
they're dealing with it appropriately. They don't want to come in and hold. Like,
he's a different kind of cat.
You want a press conference today about this video last night? That's what some other team would do. You know, like, this is just...
Right, but the best way to not have a press conference about that video is to not do that video.
Do you think, now you didn't mind the video, you said, Rich.
Well, I thought it was stupid, but I don't see any harm in it.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
Unless he hit a dog in it, then he's off the team.
Do you think somebody, Belichick, Burge, position coach, somebody said, hey, really? Not this week.
Probably.
Belichick.
Yeah, I'm guessing somebody said something.
You think Bill, straight up Bill did?
You're going to make Joe Judge do it? He's barely a wide receivers coach. You're going to make Troy Brown do it? He just started coaching.
Maybe I would make Troy Brown do it, actually.
Maybe a Brown-to-Brown conversation.
Yeah.
By the way, when are they going to just announce that he's part of the coaching staff?
Oh, never.
Why are they so secretive about it? Like, what's the...
what they do.
But who cares?
We see him. He's right
out there.
There.
And they're like, we're not going to talk about it. Why?
Well,
is it like an advantage? Because
what's assistant wide receivers coach? Is that
sure.
what we're dubbing him?
Yes.
You know Bill's on the record. Titles coaching are fine. Nothing wrong with them. We just don't believe him around
coaching
here.
Coaching assistant.
Well, then coaching assistant. Is that beneath
he's a
Troy Brown?
Level. Well... How about no title? Yeah, is that pretty
Troy Brown? He's not here.
He's like, we're embarrassed to say that you're on the staff.
Is he getting paid? Is he
on the staff? I don't know.
Okay.
He's there every day. He should be getting paid. He's putting in the work.
This is what they do. They always have a million people doing
really
jobs that are not on the bottom of the roster.
No, I don't really get it.
Whereas I was watching last night, apparently Bruce Arians has 29 coaches on his staff. 29.
Come on.
That's like, you, what?
Belichick has like 9.
Two, you know how in colleges they do the ratio of
yeah, yeah, count, yeah, yeah,
it's a 2 to 1.
Yeah. There's like
all right,
everybody
players.
Break off with your coach. Like, everybody goes over the one
He's
coach.
Got two women on his staff.
Good for him.
A assistant defensive line coach and assistant strength coach.
Good.
29 seems a little heavy on the numbers.
Sounds like owner, like,
team
plane's
going to be
here?
Enormous. How do you get everybody
no,
on
you
there?
Know what happens. Schmucks like me from Bucks.com, they're flying commercial.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what happens.
And none of the 29 know how to coach the offense.
Apparently none are on that side of the
wall. We're
going
to hire a 30th. That kind of slipped through the cracks. Defensive
Damn
coaches.
It, we got all these defensive coaches.
Yeah, not great.
Will's in Springfield. Hey, Will, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Hey, yeah. I think that's a little extreme, piggybacking off the whole posting a video thing. I really don't think anyone's saying, especially Bill, if someone presented that to him, he's probably saying, what does that have to do with Miami? If I'm innocent and I'm charged with something and I'm innocent, I'm not going to hide from my social media, which if I'm always on there or hide from the public, if this is what I do on a normal basis, you know, posting a video with me working out or whatever I'm doing, you know, I'm not going to not do that because I have an allegation that you know, claimed in a civil court that, you know, which is a money grab.
Well, we don't know that. You think it's a money grab.
Well, it's civil, so it's money. Civil's money.
No, I know, but it can also be true. It can also be a fact.
Money grab means it's not true.
Like you're making it up to get money. Like
she could be looking for compensation for her trauma.
Right.
For her wedding.
You've already decided, laughing off a rape.
No, yeah, we can't. There is an allegation of rape here. Do I think it happened? I don't know. I wasn't there. But I'm not just going to laugh it off. And
you're trying to pay for a wedding. I think even Belichick, and I know a lot of people were killing Belichick for how he talked about it. He did say we're taking it very seriously, like in his statement.
Yes. Throughout the organization.
Which
I thought was interesting. He basically, in that statement, looped in Robert Kraft. Don't just think this is a football move and I'm up here and I signed Antonio Brown and I'll take anybody Rich Keefe would. Right. Robert was in on this.
There's no way that Belichick could sign Antonio Brown without telling Robert Kraft what it is. This isn't bringing in Gunnar Olszewski.
No. Right. They had to have that conversation.
But beyond assuming that and knowing that, he said that. When he said we're taking this very seriously throughout the organization, that was he wouldn't say that about people beneath him. Right?
No, he wouldn't.
Now, he's saying that about his boss, Robert Kraft.
Right. As for the video, which is where the caller began, so the Instagram video that Antonio Brown did, it was a live video about 90 seconds at TB12. Believe it or not, Belichick was asked about that today as well.
Coach, any comments or concerns about Antonio Brown's posting on social media yesterday?
Yeah, I'm just here to talk about the game.
Okay, fair enough.
So he's clearly aware of it. Didn't say, I don't know what you're talking about. Didn't see it.
No, he didn't say that.
Not big on snap face. Didn't make any little cute remark.
No, you can't. It's really not a joking.
Again,
kind of
get back to it. The caller is a laundry guy. Root for laundry. Yeah. He's a Patriot now. I'm going to circle the wagons around this guy, and that's fine. Right. I'm not going to necessarily criticize that. That's your choice. But this is a coach who, again, ripped a new one for Dante Stallworth for commenting to the media, just a written story somebody wrote about his favorite Randy Moss catch.
Right.
Right? Like, that's as innocent as anything. That's a positive thing about a teammate who's good.
Right.
And, like, you're having fun.
Nothing.
And he got a new one ripped.
Well,
Ninkovich
told us the story last year about, I think, in an interview, he told, like, they asked him what they needed to work on, and he said something about third down defense or, like, screen passes.
Right, right.
And then he was like, why don't you give him away the whole game plan or whatever. Like, he got mad at him for that. But I also, what did Antonio Brown say in that video? He didn't say anything about a teammate.
No.
He didn't say anything about an opponent.
Devil.
He did talk about the devil which is involved. Everybody's opponent, I suppose.
But he also, like, there's indications there that he is being attacked or these are difficult times and all of that, which is accurate on some level. If he's innocent, then you're being attacked.
If he's falsely accused, absolutely.
But I just think the easiest thing to do, the best thing to do,
is nothing.
Just go quiet.
No, you're right.
Go dark, right?
And
I don't want to hear from you for a while.
The first words we hear out of his mouth would have been post-game on Sunday.
Right.
Which is what they're trying to...
Which is going
to
be
They're
really
not making him available. He's not an open locker room.
Nope. I haven't seen him.
He is invisible.
It might not even be the three questions that Josh Gordon got after the game. It might be a prepared statement from Brown and then a walk-off.
It could be.
That's what they sort of did once at Hard Knocks, too.
They're going to get criticized for that, too.
Of course they will. They got criticized for the three questions with Gordon.
But at least Gordon,
holding his hand last year.
At least Gordon, especially the way they've handled it now, releasing the statement, you can paint Gordon as a guy with anxiety issues and medical mental health issues that we're working
within.
Seems
legit.
Right.
I mean, I think Antonio Brown, you could probably go mental issues
maybe,
as well if you wanted.
But I don't know that he wants to go down that road.
Maybe not.
Some might want him to do that.
Right. Texter says, Andy, you just said he's laughing off a rape when we don't even know
alleged.
The rape took place.
I said alleged.
That's your bleeping problem.
Well, listen, it's an allegation that should be taken seriously.
You cannot laugh off the allegation unless you know that it didn't take place.
And how do you know? Unless you're the supposed other player in the room, the one other guy that could have some knowledge directly of this situation.
But I think it's as simple as you can't laugh it off, but at the same time, you can't bench him. Right? Those are the two extremes right now.
Well, you can if you choose.
Yeah,
for whatever reason.
I think there's more issues there.
Best interest of the team. I feel like that would be the thing Bill could fall back on because that's what he always falls back on.
See, I think the only way he could justify it, like he's the coach, he can do whatever he wants,
right.
is look, he hasn't had time to get up to speed on our playbook. He's working hard at it, but you know.
You can't say the reason is...
Yeah, best interest to the team. That's false.
Well, I mean, do what we think's best for the team.
Benched Malcolm Butler in a Super Bowl.
He did. Still don't really know why. What happened?
So we might not know why.
He's going to tell us any day now.
I think he might.
The book is coming.
Yeah,
I'll just hear him talk about the game.
Right, it's September.
617-779-7937. Andy Hart's in the house. We will talk to Michael Irvin just after 1 o'clock. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Non-stop, wall-to-wall coverage of the Patriots. We're back with Dale and Keith on WEEI.
You want the last question?
I don't have one. Final one.
Stumped, all right.
This would be Kevin's last Friday, so I'm going to give him the opportunity if you want.
Thank you. I would have been better prepared had I known.
Yeah, you're good. You've got plenty of good ones along the way.
One of those human touches at the end of the press conference today. Stacey James gave the final question opportunity to Kevin Duffy. This is Kevin Duffy's final Friday covering the Patriots for the Boston Herald. And he said, "Yeah, I really don't have anything."
He's like, "It's pretty much all been covered."
To which Belichick said, "Stumped you, huh? That's okay. You've asked plenty of good ones in the past." Even Belichick, a little human touch, acknowledging that Kevin Duffy was leaving the beat after today and getting an opportunity to have a little interaction.
What do you think Belichick would have done if Kevin had said, "Why didn't Butler play in the Super Bowl?"
You have to answer. It's my last question.
What an opportunity.
It's my going away present. Would have been nice.
What an opportunity wasted there.
Been all ears.
Did you guys notice Stacey, by the way? Stacey James is the person there who let Bill know and offered Kevin the last question. Did you notice him the other day when the quick back and forth was happening? Wednesday, press conference, the CNN guy, I'm not sure his name, was there.
Going back, and then... Is that the guy with the fans deserve it? Was that that guy? Or
I don't know. He did a really good job of staying composed. I just answered that. Actually, you didn't.
Right.
And he stayed very... And then Bill basically walks off 4 minutes in,
right.
And then Stacey goes, "Thank you, everyone."
I laughed out loud.
It was
thank you for your time.
Highlight of the
great
day.
Great questions.
Somebody tweeted out earlier this week, and I'd give credit if I could remember who it was, said, "Forget reading the Belichick book when this is all over. I want to read the Stacey James book."
Oh, you are not lying.
Know some stuff.
He is going to the grave with some stories.
Yeah, he's probably not going to spill anything.
No, I can... I guarantee you he's not spilling anything. Not happening.
But he's been around for a lot of stuff.
Probably multiple books.
Mm-hmm. We mentioned the off season that it's been, and our Twitter follower, Dice, just listed them for us here. Gronk retires.
Yep.
Robert Kraft, we know what happened there.
Yeah.
The Tom Brady contract, which was a huge story.
Which is still like the biggest story,
yes,
if you think about it. Out of everything, it's the most important story, and it's going to be quiet for a little while because now Antonio Brown's going to distract from it. But go ahead.
Patrick Chung.
Yep.
The charges, cocaine charges in New Hampshire. David Andrews, key cog in this whole thing. And, you know, a serious
blood clot.
Serious illness, blood clots in his lungs. gives you an idea of what they think of him within the organization, that he was still named a captain after the diagnosis. Then you've got Josh Gordon's return, which surprised many of us.
Sure did.
Alandon Roberts is probably an underplayed story. And it wasn't the fact that he was named a captain here. It was an off-season thing, right?
Yes. Oh, with the police.
Pulled over in front of his house, pulled in his driveway, got out. The cops start screaming at him, get back in your car.
Yeah.
He filed some sort of harassment charge, and it's kind of gone silent since.
And, yeah, we haven't heard anything.
And then we add, of course, Antonio Brown to it. I mean, think about
that
litany of things just since the Super Bowl.
Right.
And then you got other places where there's, like, no big stories.
There's nothing there.
That's why it's...
Yeah, like most,
you guys have gifts.
We
on
do
a regular
it's
basis.
Not, it's nonstop, really is, because think about it. Not only are those all huge Patriot stories, but how many times have they led just SportsCenter? Like forget about NFL Network for a second, but just out of all sports, Tom Brady, Gronk, Antonio Brown, Gordon are four of the biggest stories, probably, and Gordon actually probably slid that down the list. Those other three are as noteworthy as anything has been in years.
Feels like
probably
it's always that way. Whether Belichick Brady relationship and this, and like there's
here
always
comes Revis,
Malcolm
here's
Butler,
this.
Revis,
obviously all the gates.
Murder, yeah. All the gates, yeah. All the cheating, the scandals.
It's
always something.
Insane.
Relentless.
It really is. It is. It's nonstop.
Entertainment is supposed to be positive, right? It's supposed to make you feel good. So
don't
if there's
you think,
any
like,
negative.
Highlight plays, isn't that sort of the
right, but not
thing?
if there's a negative cloud hanging over it for whatever reason.
Right.
Like if a guy.
But in this his take is, you know, the guy's guilty, but he's not in prison.
Right.
Because like, I'm not saying break him out of prison and let's turn into the longest yard and let's just go into the, like, let's just do it that way.
No, but luckily we have a great example, OJ.
Yeah.
Everybody believes he
yeah,
did,
yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, pretty much
but
everyone
so
on the planet.
Had he done it during his
when
playing
he was playing,
days,
career, when he was playing.
Do you think anybody would pick him up?
No.
If he was off a 2,000-yard season and then had the most famous trial of all time, and then was walking the streets, you don't think anybody would pick him up?
I do not.
I don't really.
I think that's one where people say, no.
Because I think it's pretty universal. Mm. I don't think there's a gray area there.
Nobody,
I think most
nobody
people
thinks
think,
that he did it. Right. No, I understand.
So I don't, actually. I think he would be blackballed or whatever you want to call it. He'd be out of the league.
Hell, they won't give Colin Kaepernick a job. I don't think they'd be giving OJ a job.
No, see, I disagree.
I actually think, though, from a business perspective,
OJ probably has
would,
a better chance than
and
Colin
it would
Kaepernick.
Hurt him more.
That's how sick
business wise to hire Kaepernick.
That's how
sick
it is.
A lot of crazy people out there that would see that
as a
real negative.
617-779-7937. We'll get back to the calls with you. We'll talk to Michael Irvin in a little over an hour from now. Dale and Keith, Andy Hart in the house with us, Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.